This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Hello, everyone. My name is Erin Treloar, and I am the host of Raw Beauty Talks. We're taking you behind the highlight reel of the world's biggest influencers and wellness gurus to get a raw glimpse of what beauty, health, and wellness look like in today's world so that you can feel your absolute best in your body and in your life. All right, ladies, I am very excited for our guest today. He is the third man on the Raw Beauty Talks podcast ever in 2 years. We have only had two other men. So you know, if you are the third gentleman joining us on this podcast, that this is a very special person. He is a fashion stylist, a costume designer. He has one of the funniest Instagram feeds I've ever seen. I love your sense of humor. It is so good. I fell down the hole. Your Instagram feed. I just love it. You have to go over. What's your Instagram handle? It's L Style.
Oh, yeah. It's STYLELVR, which are actually my initials, but it's also an acronym for lover.
Lover. Okay.
Yeah.
Go over to his page right now because it's going to make you laugh.
I try not to take myself too serious. And I mean, no shade to my other stylist colleagues out there. Yes. I love following them too and whatever. But I think that when you work in fashion, sometimes people take it a little bit too serious and it becomes like all about like labels and Chanel and photo shoots and Beverly Hills. And I'm yes. like, oh God, like no one cares. I like posting fashion stuff. Don't get me wrong. And you'll find like, that's the thing. I'll put a lot of fashion into the page and stuff that I'm working on and stuff. But during these times, specifically over the last year, I'm glad that I started posting memes about a year ago. And I used to have a private meme page just for my like closest friends and family. They were like, you should start sharing this stuff on your main feed. Like, wave your freak flag low. Let people get into
that so good.
Sick mind of yours. So now it's a little bit of fashion and a lot of fun memes that I make. And I love pop culture. So it's kind of all of that mixed up into one Instagram feed.
Oh my God. I was picking up what you were putting down. I couldn't stop. And it was also I'm just so fascinated by people who can pull that kind of post together, like the memes, and it's funny and it's sarcastic. And you're like, I mean, how do you even begin to do this? Anyways, go enjoy it. And also it has an incredible eye for fashion and design. And so why I wanted to bring Lo onto the show today is A, I want to hear a bit more about his story, of course, but B, I also am always working with women who feel that fashion is for this elite, untouchable group of people who have copious amounts of money and a very specific body type, and they don't feel like they fit in, and it's the cool club over there. And I know this feeling because I feel it too. So I'm hoping that Lo can share some of his expertise to help us all feel a little bit more confident in our style and in dressing our unique body types. So before we dive into that, Lo, can you just take us back a few chapters?
Yes, let's take it back.
Who the hell are you, Lo?
Well, my name is Lo von Rumpf. I'm Hispanic, splash of German in there too. And my mom's the spicy Latina and my dad's the icy German. And they only had one child, me. And I grew up in Los Angeles, well, Orange County, which is about 45 minutes to an hour away from Los Angeles. And yeah, I've been in the fashion game for, oh my God, I'm 31 now. And I started the whole style thing about 10 years ago. Yeah, when I was about 21. Well, I've been styling since I was around 19 years old, but I was serious about it at 21. And I was like, all right, I'm doing it. Because I dropped out of college and I was like, oh shit, I need to really take this serious because I'm broke as a joke. And my parents were really bummed that I dropped out of school.
Your German dad is like, what is happening with our one and only son?
Yes, I know. Disappointments. I know. So I felt a little pressure, not a little, I felt a lot of pressure just to prove to myself and to my family, because they really wanted me to go the route of an education, as most parents, I guess, kind of would, that classic, go to school, do your thing, graduate, get a great job. Luckily, my mom is an entrepreneur and she really supported me going into entrepreneurship and doing my own thing. So without that type of support and kind of just the encouragement. Yeah. Pep in my step is what I was trying to get at, to like, to go through and do something that seemed kind of scary. I've been doing it for now over a decade and I freaking love it. And it hasn't been easy, but it's so worth it in the long run.
You've been hustling and
Still am. I always feel like I'm going to be unemployed. So like literally, it doesn't matter how many clients I have. And now, you know, I have a team. Now I actually feel even more because I have a team of people that I'm technically, you know, helping in the sense, you know, of keeping them employed. So I have to make sure like I'm on top of it.
The responsibility is beyond just you now. You've got you've got other people that you're holding on to and that you're in charge of. That's cool. And you've worked with some of the biggest names in Hollywood. Before the episode, I always ask guests, is there anything that you don't want to talk about? And they're usually like, oh, my sex life, or like, I don't want to talk about this. I don't know, whatever it is, this challenging discussion. He's like, I can't name drop, Aaron. I'm not going to name drop.
Yeah.
It's like, no, what the hell?
I'll throw one, like Ricky Martin. Boom. There's a fun one that I don't have an NDA with.
Ricky Martin. I love
Ricky Martin. Yeah. So he's very sweet. And I got to work with him early on in my career. He was like my first like big name client that I got to style. And this was like the Living La Vida Loca type days.
Oh, he was on Fuego.
Yeah. I was living La Vida Broca, but you know, broke as a freaking joke, but he was, you know, a great client. And that was one person that once you have one under your belt, then you're like, okay, I can keep going from here. And it kind of, it's a snowball effect and you got to really fake it till you make it. I was really just trying to get as much work as I could. And I didn't start making real money until like 5 years in. So
yes, it takes time. I always love hearing about that first moment when you're faking it till you make it. So Ricky Martin's people call you. I assume it's not Ricky Martin. And they're like, we need you to dress Ricky Martin.
And well, actually, it wasn't through Ricky Martin's people. It actually was through a photographer that I had been working with. And it was for an editorial shoot.
Yes.
So I went in like that entrance of like magazine editorial. And then they introduced me to Ricky's team so that I was able to style him that way, which is a great way to get your foot in the door with someone.
I love these backstories. I love the backstories that we never hear about as to how Hollywood operates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's a weird place to work, you know, in the world of entertainment. It's a really, it's a really fascinating place.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure you have many, many stories that one day I'll get out of you. And for now, we will just carry on. Okay. So you're 19. You drop out of college. Your dad's like, what the hell? Your mom's like, fly. You can do this. Like, the world is your oyster. And so you start styling and hustling. And what was it about fashion that intrigued you?
I'd always been obsessed with clothing. Even when I was a kid, I was always trying on like my Nana's robes. And she was like the most fabulous, incredible, over the top woman, like five marriages under her belt, like the Latina Elizabeth Taylor, if you will. And she was my first client, my first official client. And I had a lot of fun, like always going through her closet and trying on stuff. And I always loved fabrics and playing with clothes. And I was obsessed with women, dressing them. And as I got older, every stylist has a different, I guess, mission statement, if you will, or something that really keeps them in the game and wanting to do it. And what I've noticed is a lot of stylists that I've met getting to work with some incredible designers, having access to clothes that not a lot of people in the world are going to get access to, fabrics and getting to travel. And there's like this, it's a really cool world to be part of. And it's like exclusive and feels all fancy and shit. And all of that is great. Don't get me wrong. And I love fabrication and fancy stuff, but that is probably 1% of the reason why I style. And that idea that I have of like, sure, I like that stuff, but what really draws me into styling was I felt like it's transformative. And the ability to put something on and see someone who is struggling with self-esteem, especially in Hollywood. I'm going to tell you this much, that every actress and actor I've worked with, and I've worked with some of the most beautiful people in the world, which people would say, look at a picture and be like, oh my God, how could that person have any issues with how they look? They are all insecure. They're all scrutinized constantly. Yeah. And we all are. I mean, even if you're not in the public eye, we're scrutinized now with social media and stuff. So But even more so if you are living that life in front of the camera, and if you walk on a red carpet, I mean, you're going to get photographed from every angle, high definition. It can be really stressful. And a lot of actors are very introverted, and it's a scary process. And it's supposed to be fun, though. So I make it more of a psychological thing, and it's transformative. So that's what drew me into styling, because I was kind of masking my depression and insecurities and trying to make myself feel more confident through fashion, through clothes. So I thought, I love doing this for myself, and I love people. So I just need to connect the two. What the hell can I do? Publicist? No, they're kind of cutthroat. That's not me. I think I'll do fashion. And that's kind of where I went. I was like a therapist. I was like, nah, I still want to play with clothes though. So I'm going to go stylist route. And then I've been doing it since.
You clung to that horse and it has carried you, and you've been, you know, working with it. Okay. There's so many things I want to unpack about what you just said. First of all, I want to drop back to that nugget about the fact that these people who you work with, who as a society we deem as being the most beautiful, quote unquote beautiful, individuals all struggle and have insecurities around the way that they look. And the reason I think that this is so important to press pause on is because I think that there are so many women out there right now who are in this mindset where they feel that when they lose the weight, or when they have the perfect outfit, or if they were to look different, that they would feel differently about their body. And based on what Lo just said, that's not necessarily true. The way that you look doesn't necessarily equate to confidence and self-esteem and all of a sudden feeling inner peace about the way that you look in your body.
Yeah, no. I mean, I remember one client and she had some cosmetic surgery done. I mean, I'm down for cosmetic surgery. If you want to do it, that makes you feel good. Great. Yes. Like, I love getting a little Botox situation, some fillers. Sure. But this particular client had had rhinoplasty and had breast augmentation. She went from, like, I think it was like a B cup to like a full CD, and then had some rhinoplasty, and it was a long recovery process. There were some problems that happened. And anyway, she looked incredible after the procedures. I don't think she needed them personally. I thought she was beautiful before them, but I'm never going to be the one to say, like, don't do it. Like, that's to each their own, you know?
Totally. Yes.
After that, though, she still really struggled with self-esteem, and it just didn't do it for her. The surgeries didn't do it. She went and she got therapy, and she said, I realized it didn't matter that I lived in the gym, ate like a little rabbit, just, you know, and just was so concerned with the exterior. The interior is what actually needed the work. Yeah. And she ended up doing the work to do that and feel good about herself. So it really starts with inside. Even when it comes to styling, it's kind of like when you go and you try on clothes at like a mall or something. And when that could happen back in the day, before the pandemic.
Yes.
But you got to be in the right frame of mind, because I've gone into a dressing room and I'm like, the lighting looks like shit. I feel bloated and gross, and it's just not the day. Like, I'm not in the right mindset. And that goes into even styling, and even more so self-esteem. So, and as I said, most do struggle with self-esteem. So my job is to make sure you just feel so comfortable and safe. And yeah, and then you could slowly start to have fun with it, and it could be transformative.
I really feel that it can be transformative. We've all been in that space where you have a day that you put on a good outfit and you just stand a bit taller and you feel like it represents yourself in that moment and it's fun. And then I've also had way more days where I'm like, oh, this is just overwhelming. I don't know where to begin. Nothing is feeling right today. And so it can be really a reflection of yourself.
Fast forward to the end of 2024. Think of your goals for a second. What can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? If you want to learn a new language, you absolutely should get Babbel. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that really don't help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversation, and Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teachings, so you're ready to practice what you learned in the real world. If you're heading to another country country anytime soon, start using Babbel a few weeks before you go to learn basics like how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants without having to consult language apps while you're away. So fun. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/rawbeautytalks. Get 55% off at babbel.com/rawbeautytalks. That's spelled BABBEL.com/rawbeautytalks. Rules and restrictions may apply. This episode is brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history. We all put our hair through the wringer. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm. Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the Glossing Detangler and the Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. They're your hair's new best friends. For a limited time, you get 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use the code RAWBEAUTYTALKS at checkout. LolaVie is all about naturally derived plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, cruelty-free and vegan. That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code RAWBEAUTYTALKS. You can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Tell them I sent you over.
We're going to press pause for a moment to share a little bit about this episode's sponsor. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company for people that are ready to take their acne seriously. Prescription acne treatment really works, but it's hard to get. You have to take time off work to see a doctor and sit in line at the pharmacy for your medications. Until Apostrophe. Apostrophe makes it easy to see a board-certified dermatologist online. You'll get treated immediately and your medications are delivered straight to your home. Simply fill out Apostrophe's online questionnaire about your skin concerns and medical history. Then just snap a few selfies and your dermatologist will get back to you with a customized treatment plan tailored just for you. The best part is that Apostrophe offers topical and oral medications so that you can treat your acne from the inside out and the outside in. Apostrophe treats acne and they can also help you hit your other skincare goals like reducing redness, wrinkles, and even dark spots. I tried Apostrophe and was blown away by how simple the online process was, and yet at the same time, I really felt cared for with the questions that they asked about my skin, the fact that the dermatologist looked at pictures and was able to pinpoint specific things that Apostrophe could support with. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/raw and click begin visit, then use the code RAW at sign up and you'll get $15 off your dermatology visit. That's apostrophe.com, apostrophe.com/raw, and use that code RAW to get your dermatology visit for $15 off. And we thank Apostrophe for sponsoring the podcast and making this episode possible. Okay, before we go into all the fashion styling tips, you mentioned you had depression and were struggling with your own insecurities.
Oh my God. Yeah. Today? Sure. Yesterday? No, always.
I was going to say, you're the most confident guy. Like, you have it all. You've got not many stylists make it to the place that you're at in your career. And you're only 31. You said, I'm 31, like you were ancient in your career, but you're only 31 years old. And so tell me a little bit about your own personal experience with depression.
I've gone through some hardships in life. And I think that when you go through difficult times, you could go one of two ways with it, you know? And, you know, me experiencing loss at a young age, I experienced losing a family member who was very close to me. And I was 19, 20 years old. And that sent me into a spiral of a dark place. I don't wish anyone losing someone at a young age. It's painful. And I still, God, so her birthday, it was my grandmother, and her birthday was actually yesterday. And even it's now been over 10 years. And just yesterday I was thinking about her and just broke down crying because it all just came rushing back to me. Like, okay. I just had her and then she was gone like that. It was really something that threw me off my game emotionally, spiritually. I really spiraled. So I took that though. And I mean, I went through some real grieving, and in time I started to heal. I think there's the 7 stages of grief, and I went through it all different timing. You know, there's no specific, the way those are laid out, I thought it was like a perfect formula, but it's not. You can experience them all in different ways. So I kind of took that loss, which really hit me. And I turned it, in my opinion, how I look at it now is like armor, because it seasoned me for life. I have a very different perspective on things. It's really made me appreciate everything that I have in my life, and not just sweat the small stuff. I don't take myself too seriously because I know it could be gone like that. So even now today, though, with going through a pandemic, like losing someone can cause depression, but depression runs in my family, as does alcoholism and a bunch of other shit.
Yeah, so, all the things.
Because of that, I really didn't want to turn to, I didn't want to turn to substance abuse. So I used fashion as really escapism too. Not only can it transform me, but it really was an escape for me. I feel like it saved me. And I could throw myself into this world of playing with colors and clothes and textures and getting to meet people. And it was a distraction at the time, but it also was very healing for me in the long run. If you could find something that you're passionate about and you could also make money from it, isn't that the dream? You know, like, man, so, and it pulled me out of depression. And even now when I face, you never just leave depression, it's gone forever. You know, it's like always lurking in the distance, coming back, you know, before you know it. So there are things that I'm doing, steps that I take to ensure my mental health is put at the forefront. And if that means, you know, taking time for myself or not taking myself too seriously or making my Instagram page, which social media could be a real toxic place for people, but at least I know if they're coming to my page, they're going to laugh, they're going to learn something, and they're going to feel good. That's what we need. So that's important for me. And I do, there's steps that I do, like, you know, taking the time to work out, my diet, like little things like that, meditating, which I'm terrible at, but I'm trying to be better. God, sitting in silence. Jeez, it's tough. But I'm taking those steps. And I know there are a lot of people that struggle with depression. So those are just little things, tips and tricks that kind of help me out. Journaling has definitely saved me. Oh my gosh. I write everything down. It gives you some great perspective to look back, you know, in retrospect. Sometimes when you're in the thick of it and going through a problem, especially when I was beginning my business, and I thought this is the worst situation, or I wasn't getting paid, or someone had, you know, dogged me out in some sort of way. It's, you know, very cutthroat world, the fashion industry. And I wrote a lot of things down and I've reflected and gone back on it. I'm like, oh man, that one like sent me into a spiral. Like, look at where I'm at now. I could totally handle that situation. But I think it seasoned me for life. So I wish I had my Nana back, you know, for example, the family member that I lost, but it seasoned me and gave me strength in a different sort of way.
Thank you so much for sharing your tools, for sharing a really raw piece of your story. I mean, as soon as you said that it was your Nona who passed away, so much of it sounds like you said she's my first client, and feeling her robes and her clothes, like she was so much a piece of the very beginning chapter of this journey that you've been on. So it makes so much sense that your love for fashion has just continued to grow, and having that fuel behind you. I mean,
oh yeah, I feel like I'm doing it for her. I'll get like beautiful gowns and stuff now, and they'll be shipped to my showroom. And I'm like, oh my God, like if she was alive, she'd be freaking out because she was obsessed with clothing and fashion and always, you know, it was like total costume. I mean, she was so over the top. So I related so much to that, and I idolized her in a way, and I got, you know, 20 great years with her, but now I'm kind of carrying the torch, and that's another way of expressing and sharing her love and her personality with the world. Cause I feel like I'm just, her spirit kind of lives within me in a way. And then it was also great too, because, you know, I'm extremely close with my mom. I'm so thankful that she never shamed me when it came to expressing myself. And I know that's kind of a hot topic right now when it comes to children, and you're seeing like little boys wanting to play with dolls, and parents could be like, oh my God, like, is my son gay? You know, and I know that can be a tough thing for some parents, you know, and All I'm saying is, one, it doesn't mean your son's gay if he wants to play with dolls and stuff, because yeah. I had other cousins of mine who did the same and they're not gay. But I have to say, for me, getting to be able to express myself and play with Barbies and stuff, and I played football and I did all the quote unquote stereotypical dude things, but I also loved a good Barbie moment and I loved to play dress up. And I realize now that me trying to emulate these powerful women in my life, I've always been obsessed with women, powerful, strong women. That's because that's all I've been surrounded with. But my mom always encouraging me. And I recently did an episode on my podcast and I talked to her about, letting me play with Barbies and making it safe for me to do that.
Yeah.
And express myself all the way through high school too. I was always kind of like not blending in with the other kids in my class. And she said, listen, I don't care about sexuality. The main thing for me is I was just trying to create this little well-adjusted human. Mm-hmm. And she goes, how could I expect you to be a nurturer and a caretaker and be thoughtful with whatever partner you decide to take if all I gave you was, Tonka trucks and soldiers? She goes, mm-hmm. So I actually wanted you to have both sides. She goes, we have little girls always nurturing, caretaking little dolls. She goes, but I'm like, you get to learn that too. So she yes. fostered that in me at a really young age. And I feel like that kind of gave me the real fundamental building blocks into taking that into my career. Even now, I mean, all these years later, I think that was a huge influence in my life, is just feeling safe to express myself. And now my job is to help people express themselves the same sort of way. And it's really one, full circle, but two, it's truly fulfilling in that way.
Mm. Your mom sounds like an incredible woman.
And she's great. Spicy Latina.
I'll be getting her on the show next. Okay. Talk to me a little bit about helping women express themselves through fashion. In particular, I know that there's a lot of women who are watching or listening to this episode right now who are like, I have no idea where to begin in figuring out how to express myself. I don't have $5 million and people aren't sending me fancy gowns. Where do I begin in dressing myself in a way that feels good?
Yeah. Well, I know, especially right now with the pandemic, a lot of my clients included, myself too, can feel like you're in a style rut. I get DMs from so many of my listeners and they're like, Lo, I feel like I'm just wearing a uniform of, shitty clothes and I'm just done with it. Like, help me out. And I think what's really great right now is you don't have to have a lot of money to look super stylish and feel really good about it. Yeah, looking stylish and on trend, that's one thing. But again, doing the work and feeling good about yourself, I think it's, again, more psychological. But in today's world, which, I mean, fast fashion, there are some great things about it and some not so great yes. things about it. But yes. I have to say, the plus side is it's affordable and you could get a runway type vibe and a beautiful coat from like a Zara or a Forever 21. I mean, there's so many great brands that are affordable just to kind of zhuzh it up once in a while. But I always say, like, for someone who feels like they're in a style rut, like one of my clients, she was like, man, I'm wearing the same thing over and over. So what I suggested she did was, she didn't want to spend a lot of money either. She's like, I don't want to invest and buy a bunch of stuff. Like, yeah. not in the mindset to do that right now. And she's like, and I want to make sure I'm not like breaking the bank. Because even for actors and stuff, they're like, work is slowing down for everyone. Yes. A lot of people are affected. So what I decided to do was we went the accessory route. And I think that sometimes, especially if you're like, oh, I've gained weight or whatever, change it up with accessories, whether it be like cute headbands, some cute costume jewelry, scarves, like a new like bag or something like that. Shoes are always a more affordable route. And I don't know, if you put on a fresh pair of sneakers and a cute headband and some hoops, it could just make you feel good. Yeah. Throw on a little bold lip moment and you're pretty much feeling better about yourself just with little changes like that.
Yes.
And when it comes to even, I get a lot of messages too about the celebrity world. It's so focused on image and working out and being that perfect size and sample size. And oh, it's such bullshit. It's so ridiculous because one, everyone is struggling with body image, but two, it doesn't matter what size you are, you can look incredible. What I suggest is just knowing what particular silhouette looks best on you, knowing your body type, whether you're pear shaped or like banana shaped or strawberry shaped. There's all
why do they name us after fruit? Like,
but
it paints a picture. It paints a picture. Yes.
Yeah. So know your fruit shape. And I think that what's great is there's amazing options for no matter what size you are. And that wasn't the case 10 years ago. And I love that now you could be, you know, small to extra large, extra, extra, large, whatever size you are. One brand I love was Madewell. I was just online because I was buying my client who is considered plus size, but they go to size like zero to size 26, which is great. And really cute stuff.
Yeah,
that doesn't feel like, I don't know, for some reason, when it came to plus size brands, man, they just feel like so dated. And like, yes, it would always be like mother of the bride vibes. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, no, they need to freaking change it. And they have. So there's so many great brands now that have options for all shapes and sizes, as they freaking should, and all different color skin tones. And yeah, that's really nice. I'm happy that's happening right now.
It is long overdue. And I also am so happy to see there has been a lot of evolution in this area in regards to cute things. And also social media has allowed for so many women with different body types to become celebrities themselves in regards to being bloggers and showing different outfits and sharing their fashion tips and expressing themselves. And so I think that one of the things that I'd always recommend when you're curating your social media feed is to follow other women who have a similar body type. And especially in the world of fashion, find somebody who you love their fashion, who looks similar to you. And that will always help with inspiration rather than following someone with a completely different body type who just makes you feel like shit about yourself, because
yeah,
you're never going to, that's never going
to
be.
I went on a muting spree and I was like, okay, I need to just mute the hell out of some people because I mean, I don't need like some people, I have friends of mine, they're like in Cabo and like super spreader events. And I'm just like, I can't right now. I need like motivational type quotes, funny stuff. And then I'll throw in some fashion. Oh, and I like cooking stuff too. So that's kind of like, I've muted everyone except like if it's going to enrich me in some sort of way.
Yes.
But what I'm getting fed now in my social media feed is actually, I'm not feeling depressed or like I'm not doing enough or comparing myself. Now it's actually been, it's been a hell of a lot more healthy of an experience being on Instagram now that I've done that.
Yes. Yeah. You are the editor of that online magazine. Do you as a guy ever struggle with body image?
Oh, all the time. Oh, and that, by the way, so I'd say my clientele ranges from, I say 50% men, 50% women. And I have, oh, and I style Doug the Pug too. Do you know who that is?
Come on.
My biggest client, name drop. I'm obsessed with pugs. I have one, little Dookie, and he's all of 14 years old, senior citizen, has like a Morgan Freeman vibe, salt and pepper, little gray. And he's just the sweetest thing. So I remember getting the style Doug the Pug. I was like, oh my God, like this is the coolest thing. Welcome to LA. Like this little freaking nugget, Doug the Pug, was actually walking the red carpet at the People's Choice Award. This was like a year ago. Mm-hmm. And he's like slid into my DMs with his mom, Leslie, who's lovely. And but it looked like it was coming straight from Doug the Pug, who has like 4 million followers. I'm like, this pug. Oh my God. So anyway, she's like, Doug was like, I need a cool outfit because I'm going to be on the carpet. And he was like a correspondent with Ryan Seacrest. And he was nominated for a People's Choice Award Animal of the Year. And they saw that I love pugs and I post about them all the time, mine specifically. So it was a perfect match. But anyway, what was I getting to? Oh yeah.
Things body you image. Never anticipated.
Yeah. Doug the Pug. He was very confident in the way he looked. But I will say when it comes to men and women, I have to say my male clients are much more self-conscious and struggle with body image more so than my female clients.
Really?
Yeah. They're a lot more self-conscious. And I think it comes down to a few things. So I'll have a female client, for example, and I remember this one that I was working with and she's like, oh my gosh, I've, you know, kind of gained a few LBs. This was before the pandemic. And she was telling me, she's like, oh my God, I was so disciplined for a role. And then I finished it. And I was like, I just want to like live my life and eat and have a good cheeseburger. And she did. But she's like, but I have a red carpet coming up. And I like feel a little self-conscious about my tummy. And we talk openly about it. It's a safe place. And I was like, don't worry, girl. Like we got two things of Spanx for you. We could just, there's a lot of tips and tricks and little things you could do if you do want to smooth something out, yes, or, you know, go in a little bit on a size, or even, yeah, when it comes to like bras and different things, you know, they can completely be game changers. Your undergarments are so important for silhouette. So I feel like even if you are a little self-conscious, there's some tools that can really help you if you have like an event or something to go to, or, yeah, whatever. Even though it comes down to like butt pads and stuff, like it's crazy the amount of stuff that's out there that can help.
It's also so good for everyone to just hear what he's saying and to bring that awareness when you're looking at images that you're seeing on social media or in media in general, that these women have like butt pads and two pairs of Spanx on in some cases.
Three pairs and, yeah, like cutlets. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot going on underneath the dress. And I love that a lot of people now, a lot of celebrities are very open about it. They're like, very, oh yeah, open. I got two pairs of Spanx. I'm wearing cutlets, push-up bra, like corseted.
Yes.
The whole nine yards. For men though, there's not as many options. They're starting to be slowly, but like there's not a corset. Like for a guy, you can either tuck your shirt in or tuck your shirt out. If you're feeling a little soft in the belly area, yeah, it's going to show. You're going to feel like a potato. It's a little tough for guys. And they've expressed that to me during fittings. Like, man, like I had one guy and he had worked out and done a ton of stuff for a role. And his body looked awesome when he was filming, similar to my other one I was telling you about, my other client. But the premiere was coming up and he's like, it's the premiere for this live action movie. And I do not look like what I'm about to watch.
So, right. Like, right.
You know, he's like, I got a little soft. And it had been, he had filmed that movie. It'd been like a year. So he looked very different and he was just really going through it. Very self-conscious. I ended up finding a way. I got like a compression tank top and then we added like cutlets, like that looked like pectorals for a dude. So no, it could look like he was more like, oof, like brawny. And like, anyway,
wow.
Cinched in his waist and all that. And he felt great. But what I'm getting at is this is a guy who would, you think, have all the confidence in the world. Or a lot of guys are like, oh, I don't care about that. I don't care about that shit. That's a, like, girls worry about that. Yeah, dudes aren't like vain. That. No. Guys are so self-conscious with their legs. I have one guy and one of my buddies, and he's like, man, I hate how skinny my legs are. Like especially because I feel like girls like athletic looking guys and I'm like a little twig. And yeah. Oh, I just hear all different types of shapes and sizes for guys too. And they are going through it. And you wouldn't know that. And I don't think guys talk about it as openly.
They don't.
But it's definitely a thing. And even when it comes to like cosmetics, guys are so weird about makeup. Like now, slowly but surely, they're getting more comfortable with like, yeah, if you don't like the fact that you have dark circles, you could cover them and it's, yes, okay. It doesn't mean you're going full drag. Like it just, yeah, it's fine. Yes. It's funny too, because a lot of these cosmetic companies for men are marketing it like super like manly with like, there was one, I think it's called like camouflage, and all of the different concealers look like an army print or something, but it's basically Estee Lauder.
It's makeup.
You know, yeah. It's makeup. It's Clinique, but just done in a more like a butch way. But so guys do go through it. It's just not talked about as much. But I love that my male clients have opened up to me and they're like, man, I'm really struggling with body image. I'm really bummed about the way my body looks right now. Or what can I do to feel good about myself? And we go down that rabbit hole because we're all going through it to some extent, myself included. I put on some LBs during the pandemic and I was like, damn, I don't feel good right now. It's like, uh-oh, I'm going down a rabbit hole. Like, what can I do? Like, first, yeah, of all, not go on the gram. And then secondly, I love a list. That's helped me a lot. The so list. I'll make the damn list. And oh, and the Fitbit has helped me. So yes, like, I'll just get my stupid steps in.
Completing,
you know,
completing the sure, circles, going back to the list. I mean, honestly, there are like 20 sub podcast episodes that we could branch off to into here. I think that it's fascinating that you're saying that the men that you work with have just as many body image issues than the women. My guess is that part of this puzzle is that there is a bit more of a safe space for us to talk about the shame we feel around our body. And that's actually a really common dialogue that we as women have with one another and internally. Whereas for men, that space isn't as safe or as available for them to open up and be vulnerable about how they're feeling in their body, which then results in there being a lot more shame about it all around, which exasperates any problem. I have a feeling that when you're hearing them talk about this stuff, that there's probably a lot of shame. Like, you're probably the only one that knows that padding went on and that they were feeling really crappy. You know, it's just not talked about enough.
No, it's not. And not socially acceptable in a way. It's like, toughen up, man. Like,
exactly. Or that's vain. Like, what, you're a guy. You shouldn't be worried about that kind of stuff. Like, who cares? Yeah.
And there's a lot of women that will be like, oh my God, if I knew my boyfriend was wearing makeup, I'd be like so turned off by it.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I mean, that kind of just reiterates the point of them being, you know, so closed off in a sense. Yes. But that translates into other aspects too. If he's closed off about something as minuscule as wearing concealer and he's going to be judged, he's not going to open up emotionally and talk about anything, past traumas or anything that needs some healing. So it kind of just begins a really vicious cycle for men. And luckily now, I mean, hopefully guys can feel more comfortable to open up. I'm an open book. I'm like, I don't know. I don't give a shit. I love to be, because I can't hold it in. It's going to make me sick. I love learning from women and the fact that they can openly talk about things and it's a safe place. Like, guys need that too.
Well, I think men and women could learn so much from you. So where can people find out more about you? Where can they follow along and get more low in their life?
Instagram's always great. That's Style LVR. Oh, the podcast. I have a podcast. Yeah. My podcast, The Low Show. Yeah, it's just called The Low Show and it's on Apple Podcasts, but it's available wherever you stream your podcasts. And most people think it's a fashion podcast, which I get. I guess I should have done a fashion podcast, but we've only done like one episode on fashion. We talk about everything. It really is just kind of whatever is going on in the world, which is kind of fun. And then we'll throw some fashion in there too. Why not? So
fashion is always so influenced by all those things that are going on in the world.
Totally. So. Yeah. Great point.
It's all tied in. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for sharing a piece of your story. You truly are an incredible human.
And oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, the feeling is mutual, Erin.
I can't wait to meet you one day in Vancouver. We'll go to Earl's and have a fancy steak.
I'm freaking coming to Vancouver. I love Canadians. So I will definitely be there and I'll for sure hit you up when I'm there.
Can't wait to see you.
All right. Thanks, Erin.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you. Bye. If you enjoyed this conversation, please take a moment to copy the link, send it over to somebody else who you think it might support. And remember, as always, your story, your body, your mind, your journey are unique. So take everything that we've talked about in this episode and think about what really resonated with you and leave the rest behind.
Mads, I am obsessed with our brand pillars.
You mean vagina sweat, good branding, and being Jewish blooded queens, Scout?
Sure, but not quite. I love that OKSIS podcast and our sisterhood is made up of women who are down for main character energy only, who take care of their mental health, and who are standing in their personal power as entrepreneurs.
Oh yeah, that too, Scout, that too. We should probably introduce ourselves. Hello, everyone. I am Mads.
And I am Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
Join us on OKSIS podcast every Monday for some sisterly banter, nourishing mental health, a whole lot of silliness, and inspiring interviews from the raddest female guests in the game.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood!
Do you ever feel like you're struggling through motherhood? You're not alone. I'm Erica Jossa, host of the Momwell podcast, therapist and mom of three. Join me each Wednesday as I sit down with guests, including psychologists, pediatricians, psychiatrists, fertility specialists, lactation consultants, and more to unravel the myths of motherhood. With expert advice, practical tips, self-love, and some coping skills to help you along the way, you can become the mother you want to be. Listen to the Momwell podcast at momwell.com/listen or on your favorite podcast platform.